We are certainly thankful that you're here today, that we're here with the right spirit, the right attitude to worship our God. That's another great old hymn. I appreciate you leading that. I'm redeemed. Wonderful thoughts and promises that God gives to us. Who do you feel safe helping these days? If you are a man, you may not be sure whether helping a woman will be considered gallant or condescending. If you are white, you may be afraid to help someone who is black. And certainly most of us who are here this morning are aware of the prejudices that prevailed in the 60s, the racial prejudices. I read a story about in racially torn Alabama in the 1960s. There was an older black woman who stood beside her car, and at 11 p.m., her car was broken down. It was pouring down rain. And she was soaking wet from trying to flag down a car to help her. And finally, there was a young white man who stopped. And he helped her get out of the rain. He took her to the nearest town where she was able to get a taxi cab to take her to her destination. And although she was in a big hurry, she took the time to thank the young man, and she wrote down his address. And 7 days later, there was a knock on the young man's door, and to his surprise, a man delivered a giant console color TV. There was a note attached to the TV, and it said, "Thank you so much for assisting me on the highway the other night. The rain drenched not only my clothes, but also my spirits. Then you came along. And because of you, I was able to make it to my dying husband's bedside just before he passed away. God bless you for helping me and unselfishly serving others. Sincerely, Mrs. Nat King Cole." In Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 14, the Pharisees left and plotted to kill Jesus. He knew about this, so he left that place. Many people followed him, and he cured all of them. He also ordered them not to tell people who he was. So what the prophet Isaiah had said came true. "Here is my servant, whom I have chosen, whom I love, and whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will announce justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or shout, and no one will hear his voice in the streets. He will not break off a damaged cattail. He will not even put out a smoking wick until he has made justice victorious. The nations will have hope because of him." God's son excelled in serving. And I can't help but wonder, in what things do you excel? And I know that many of us would excuse ourselves and we might say, well, we don't excel in anything. But you might excel in teaching, or you might even excel in making money or spending money. A few hands go up there. You might excel in work. You might excel in recreation. You might excel in parenting or grandparenting. Gardening or cooking, or the one I excel in is eating. You might excel in creativity, or you might excel in channel surfing. All of us excel at something. Now, there's a difference between excelling and being a success. Success is attaining cultural goals that are sure to elevate one's perceived importance within that culture. But I believe that all, and not just a select few, can enjoy excellence. The Greek word is arete, or virtue. And certainly, according to my dictionary, which I'm still working on, I only have a few words in so far, is to excel is to do the very best that you can do without relative comparisons to other people. Excellence does not mean flawlessness. But there is one area in which few people strive to excel. And I believe that this is in serving. There are very few people who are waiting in line to attend serving school. Now, you may have to climb the corporate ladder to find worldly success. But to excel in serving, you must kneel at the foot of Calvary's cross on which Jesus died. If it is a greater blessing to serve than to be served, then most of us are content to let the other fellow have the greater blessing. Bobby and his younger brother, Tommy, argued about who would get the biggest piece of chocolate pie. And their mother asked, "What would Jesus do?" And undoubtedly she knew what they might respond, so she went ahead and said, "He would let the other person have the choice." And so Bobby, the older brother, said, "Tommy, I'm going to let you be like Jesus." I didn't know if you'd catch on that quickly. You did. That was good. God's Son excelled in serving. In the previous chapters of this gospel account, Jesus healed all types of people. In chapter 8, he healed a leper and also a paralyzed servant of a centurion. And Peter's mother-in-law, who had a fever, and two demon-possessed men. In chapter 9, he healed another paralytic and a woman who had hemorrhaged for 12 years, and two blind men, a demon-possessed man who was mute. And in chapter 12, a man with a shriveled hand. And Matthew stated that many people followed him and he healed them all. Jesus was busy. Jesus never had to worry about what he was going to do on any particular day. He let God set his calendar. He let God set his agenda. There are times when you will excel in good deeds that people with evil motives will rebuke you or maybe even persecute you. How could anyone find fault with those wonderful deeds that Jesus did to help people overcome their physical afflictions? But guess what? They did. In the marvelous Beatitudes, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 10, Blessed are those who are persecuted for doing what God approves of. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, lie and say all kinds of evil things about you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because you have a great reward in heaven. The prophets who lived before you were persecuted in these ways. If evil people found fault with the Son of God for doing good deeds, then shouldn't we expect the same? Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 20, "A servant isn't greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they did what I said, they will also do what you say." I believe that Jesus excelled in servanthood because he was flexible. We live in an age of technology, and pagers, computers, smartphones, Fitbits, and on it goes. Everything seems to be geared toward following rigid schedules and meeting stressful deadlines. It's amazing how many people Jesus healed. How did he have the time to do that? But Jesus' primary mission on this earth was salvation and not healing. But it was through healing that people realized that this was someone special, that he was what he claimed to be, that he was the very Son of God. It is a greater blessing to enjoy spiritual wellness than physical wellness. I know that sometimes when we're very seriously ill, that's hard to comprehend. But in reality, we are living for our spiritual wellness. We can serve God whether we are well or whether we are sick. There are probably many days when Jesus set out to do one thing and ended up doing other things. I know that's probably true with you as well, that you may have a goal that you're going to accomplish certain things in the day, and yet events or people interrupt that, and you do what is most important rather than following your agenda. Often those things that we plan to do are not nearly as important as those things that God gives us the opportunity and privilege to do. One man said, rather than giving God our ability, he wants our accessibility. Jesus had one agenda. In John chapter 8 and verse 38, "I haven't come from heaven to do what I want to do. I've come to do what the one who sent me wants me to do." What is your agenda? Are you following the will of God? Are you following his direction every day? Or are you sticking to a strict schedule and not letting others be more important than your schedule? I also believe that Jesus excelled in serving because he was not prejudiced. If you're going to die on the cross for someone, would you be selective for the one whom you die? Would you say, "Well, I'd die for this person, but I wouldn't die for this person"? But that wasn't the attitude of Jesus at all. He was not selective or prejudicial in determining the ones for whom he died. He died for all mankind. He died for the Jews and he died for the Gentiles, the rich and the poor, the educated and the illiterate, the religious and the irreligious, the moral and the immoral. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, Paul wrote, "We place our confidence in the living God. He is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe." So why did Jesus take his time to minister to the outcast of society? Well, I believe it was because they needed him, and no one else would help them. Jesus was the spiritual doctor who helped those who were sick of being sick. Isaiah prophesied about Jesus' ministry of spiritual healing in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 3. "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out." Now, a bruised reed, or a cattail, as was pointed out earlier, could be easily broken. People are eager to help other people who may later be able to return that favor to them. But not many people jump at the chance to help people who are bruised and battered and broken from the injustices of life. A smoldering wick is one whose light is about to go out. And there are some people whose lives closely resemble that of a smoldering wick. They seem to be fighting a losing battle. Their physical and spiritual hope are almost extinguished. But we should be willing to help such people, because one day we may be that bruised reed. We may be that smoldering wick who needs help. And the Lord may be the only one able or willing to minister to you. We've seen in several of the verses that we looked at that there's the mention of the nations or the peoples. And how do we know who he's talking about? I find it very interesting when you go back into the Old Testament and you read a number of the prophecies that were made, and they were made about the nations, or they were made about the peoples. And that particular word could be translated as Gentiles or as heathens. It is the Greek word ethnos, from which we get our word ethnicity. Even though Jesus was a Jew, he served all nationalities and all races of people. That was not the politically correct thing to do. In the Old Testament, there were prophecies about the Messiah ministering to all nations or to all peoples. And I wonder how that the Jewish people could read the Old Testament or have it read to them and not understand that the nations applied even to the Gentiles. In Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2, "In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be established as the highest of the mountains and raised above the hills. All the nations, all the peoples will stream to it." Even way back when Isaiah was making this prophecy, he was referring to Jews and Gentiles, everyone. In his sacrificial death, Jesus broke down all prejudicial walls that separated and divided people. And he made them into one united people. There is no place for prejudice and selectiveness in the kingdom of God. You can't be a servant if you're primarily concerned about another person's skin or color or nationality or financial standing or education or possessions. Jesus wasn't concerned about that. If you desire to excel in servanthood, you have the perfect model in Jesus Christ. God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life that is wholly yielded to him. Listen to what was stated in Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 25. Jesus called the apostles and said, "You know that the rulers of nations have absolute power over people, and their officials have absolute authority over people. But that's not the way it's going to be among you. Whoever wants to become great among you will be your servant. Whoever wants to be the most important among you will be your slave. It's the same way with the Son of Man. He didn't come so that others could serve him. He came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many people." That's how we are to be. We are to look at other people as people who have souls. People who are going to live eternally, either with God or separated from God. And we cannot allow racial prejudices or any other kind of prejudices to enter into our minds. When we look at other people, when we talk to other people, we encourage other people to come and attend services with us, when we encourage people to study the Bible with us. We cannot be concerned about the external, but we must be concerned about our willingness to be a servant, just like Jesus Christ. If there's anyone here this morning who needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord, we hope that you will take this opportunity to do so while we stand and sing.